Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. I want to help you this morning with dead ends, not split ends. I can't help you with those. But the Lord can help you with dead ends. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Now, this message is going to sort of have three parts. A challenge, a beginning concerning the new year, and then a something concerning grace for you in the Word of God that I want to show you, and then a talk about dead ends. And maybe you feel like you're in a place that you would only describe as a dead end in some area of your life. And so 2015 is a new beginning. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. Chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 are very serious. Paul says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I just want to lift out a few things from this as an introduction this morning. I want us to look at some phrases in this. Knowing the time. Knowing the time, if you look in that first verse, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time. How many of you know that if the Apostle Paul spoke of knowing the time as being a serious thing in his day, how much more so we today who live at the end of the age, that we need to be able to know the time, to see the time? I know some people don't, and this is a personal preference. This isn't a conviction that it's something that you need to do, but some people just never watch the news, and they'll say, you know, I just don't like to watch it. I don't like to know about it. And I think it's important that we be informed. You know, we don't have to be informed to live for Christ, but if we're going to know the time, then we have to know what's happening. And I believe that knowing what's happening gives us the great opportunity then to look through the lens of Scripture. When I watch the news, I'm not watching it to be entertained. I watch the news in order to understand the times. The Bible says that there are those in the Word of God who knew the times, in which they had understanding of the times in which they lived. And I don't know about you, but I want to have an understanding of the times. And when I watch the news and I filter it through the lens of Scripture, I look at it through what the Word of God says, then I'm able to know the times. I'm able to say, this is what God's doing in the world. This is what the enemy is doing in the world. This is what's happening to God's people as they're being persecuted in many places in the world. And so we should know the time. And he says, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, I know that you know this. The New Year is not a holiday in the Word of God. God doesn't mark times the same way that we mark time in our secular society. But we are human and we tend to mark our seasons according to the years. What do I mean by that? We always have that tendency to look at 2014 is past, that was a season. 2015 is now arriving. This is a new season. And it's appropriate that we look at it that way and that we say, what will this year be like? What is, because we mark our time in years. And this being the beginning of a new year, we will view it as a new season in our lives. And I won't ask you to answer this, but for 2014, was it a good season or was it a bad season for you? Was it a good year or was it a bad year? What do you expect of 2015? Do you have an expectation for 2015 that it will be better for you than 2014? Do you have a hope for 2015? Do you have dreams for 2015? Do you have a desire for your walk with God in 2015? He says that we are to know the times. And you know, I don't mean this as a judgment, but I speak for all of us who live in this society right now. When he says, awake out of sleep, we live in a time, you may have had some troubles in 2014, but I would still be willing to say that with all of the comforts you have relatively, with all of the technology at your disposal and me as well, with the comfort, with the entertainment, with all we have to make our life better and easier, it is very easy to slumber in our relationship with Christ. It's very easy to be asleep. It's very easy to be in a time where we're not looking and we're not awake and we're not alert to what God is saying and doing in our lives. Well, 2015 is a new season, and I want you to look at it this way. I want you to listen for a moment to this illustration. Every day that God gives you, every day that God gave you in 2014, I want you to picture it as a stack of money. 360 bills, $360. But just understand that it's 360 days. Every day has value in the kingdom of God. Every day, just like the money that you have. The money that you have is currency, and you're able to use it to buy things that are of value to you and to be productive in some way. Well, I want you to picture God giving you in 2014, He gave you 360 bills. He gave you 360 coins, if you will. He gave you 360 pieces of currency. And so, how did you spend that money? How did you spend the days that God gave you in 2014? Likewise, as we look at 2015, God is now handing you that same currency. He gives you 360 pieces of currency representing 360 days with which to do something that is of value with your life. How will you spend 360 pieces of currency that God has given you? Beginning with the first, what will you do with that? What are your expectations for 2015? Will it be something that is better than 2014? Do you intend to be the same person at the end of the year 2015 as you were at the beginning of 2015? And are you the same person at the end of 2014 that you were at the beginning of 2014? God's plan is that you change. God's plan is that you grow. And it will never happen without a choice on your part. And I'm just going to be very frank with that, because I think some people, here's what happens in many people's lives. Many people get saved, they come to Christ at some time in their life, they get saved and they get stuck. I've seen it over and over again in years of ministry and knowing people who know the Lord. They get saved, they get stuck. They get saved and they're so grateful that they now have eternity, that God has told them that they will go to heaven. They have belief in the finished work of Christ on the cross. They're truly a believer. They come to Christ and they stop doing some things perhaps that they were doing before. Their life gets cleaned up, but they get stuck. And years later, they'll still tell you, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. They'll tell you, no, I don't do those things, I'm a Christian. But you never hear the testimony out of their mouth of what God is doing in the inward parts. What is God speaking to you in 2015? How is He leading you? What is He putting upon your heart? How are you growing in the Word of God? How are you becoming mature? How are you becoming victorious? How is your life changing and developing as you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God? It's our desire that we not be stuck at some time past in our development, but that we grow in the things of God. And so this is all at the beginning of the message. This is a challenge for you for 2015. How many of you know that God is not going to grab you by the neck tomorrow morning and lay you flat and say, okay, it's time for you to grow. You're going to be more spiritual today, and you're going to get up and you're going to walk in. Not going to happen. Nothing is going to happen in your life spiritually if you don't seek God. And there are believers who go to church week after week and who have accepted Christ and who say that they're born again, but do you know Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you intimate with God? Is there something revolutionary that He's doing on the inside of your life? Can you say, I'm not the same person today that I was yesterday? I have a future, and I know that God's taking me somewhere, and each day is a new day. You've got new currency from God. How will you spend the day that God is going to give you tomorrow and the next day and all the days of 2015? So, as I said at the beginning, I'm going to be talking to you about dead ends. And maybe some of you feel like 2014, you got stuck at a dead end. in your life. Maybe there are things in your life that you feel like, how am I ever going to get past this? My circumstances or something on the inside or something on the outside. There's something blocking your way. Maybe you're in a circumstance that you say, this is just, I don't see a way around this. And I know that this will be for some of you this morning, that you feel like where you are right now, or maybe it was all of 2014, maybe it's where you are right now in this moment, that there's some dead end. And we tend to look at dead ends as exactly that. But I'm going to show you this morning in the Word of God that dead ends for God are never dead ends. If you're in a dead end, what you consider to be a dead end, it is never a dead end with God. It is only a beginning. It's only the first day of something else, and God wants to take you out on the other side. So I'm going to talk to you about those dead ends in 2015, because most likely you will encounter some dead ends in 2015. But I want you to be able to see beyond them. And the Lord wants to show you something that can change the entire direction of your life in this year ahead. Before we walk through those dead ends, the second part of the message that I mentioned to you, I want to give you something to encourage you. And I want you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Now, we're not going to read all of this psalm, but I'm going to show you a pattern in it, something that will help you in just a moment. I want you to notice something that repeats over and over. We tend to look at the Old Testament a lot of times and we see maybe the harshness of God. Some people don't see the mercy of God like they do in the New Testament. But I want to show you His grace for you this morning. How many of you know that we sometimes do stupid things? Do we? Sometimes we do foolish things, don't we? Sometimes our own sin puts us in a dead end, doesn't it? Sometimes we create those situations. Sometimes they come from without. Sometimes there are storms that come that are not our own making. I would say probably three times out of four they're our own making. And then there are those that are not our own making. And we're going to see that in this psalm. In 107, beginning at verse 5. I'm sorry, turned too far. Verse 4. We find a group of people who are wandering in a wilderness. This is a spiritual picture for us. How many of you ever felt like you're wandering in a wilderness place? Look in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. So here we find it's very much like the Israelites. Do you remember they wandered in the wilderness? And why did they wander in the wilderness? Because of their own murmuring and complaining, because of their own sin. And so all of that time, they were in a desert, they were in a wilderness place, they were wandering. It says that they couldn't find a place to settle, they found no place to dwell in. Sometimes our life is like that. It's like we just keep wandering in circles and we can't seem to get out of this rut that we're in. We can't seem to get where we know that we're supposed to be. And we find that these were wandering in the wilderness, but this is the pattern now you're going to see over and over in this psalm. Verse 6 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Now, you've read that before, but listen to me. He does not say that He wouldn't hear them because they created their own mess. He doesn't say they were wandering because of their own sin. He just says they were wandering in a wilderness place, and what did they do? They cried out to God, and what did He do? He heard them. Now, this is going to be repeated for us. Look at verse 10. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. In the Word of God, that is a picture of bondage. That is a picture of being bound up by something that you can't get free of, perhaps some sin in your life. Look at the reason, verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Beloved, there's no worse description that you can find in the Word of God than they rebelled against the words of God. How many of you know that is a very serious place to find yourself, right? To rebel against the words of God. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, and I will include myself. How many of us have found ourselves in a dark place, in irons and in bondage because we rebelled against the words of God? Because we did not do what we knew that God had said. So look at this. they rebelled. I want you to see the picture here. These people rebelled against the word of God and found themselves in bondage. But look at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Maybe this morning you've rebelled against something that God has said. Maybe you found that you're in a dark place spiritually. Maybe you're in bondage to something. Maybe you can't seem to get free, and to you that's a dead end. Look at me. Every one of these are dead ends. But there is no dead end with God. They didn't have to earn his favor. They didn't have to crawl on their knees and say, oh, look what I've done. What do I have to do to make up for it? They didn't have to repeat certain prayers. They didn't have to go before an altar. They didn't have to do any of these things. They cried out to the Lord. And it says he heard them. And he delivered them. And it says that he broke their chains of bondage. This one is good because we've all found ourselves in this category in verse 17. How many of you have ever played the fool? How many of you have ever been a fool in your walk with God? Done foolish things. Look at this. Fools, because of their transgression. Let me just rephrase it. Foolish people because of their own sin. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. And their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. This speaks of a dire physical condition that has come about because of disobedience to God. Fools. Even the fool finds grace with God. Fools, because of their transgression, in verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Amen? So maybe this morning you say, I've been foolish. Maybe I've been a fool in my walk with God and I've not done what is right. And I find myself in a really, really bad place. How many of you know he's still a God of miracles? And your dead end is no excuse to stay where you are. And you feel that you're in a dead end and there's no way out. But God says, this is the beginning. It's not an end. This is not the last for you. This is not a trap for you. I'm not punishing you. I'm not beating you up. I'm opening the door to something new in your life. Look at this last category. It's not like the rest. All of the rest were because of their own doing. And again, I say probably three times out of four, it's our own doing. But there are times when the storm comes that we did not create. We did not cause it. And so in this one we find in verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters. These are people who are going about their ordinary everyday working life. They're doing business. And the Bible says that they see the wonders of God in the deep. Look at verse 25, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts. Their soul melts with fear because of the trouble that is coming against them. Some of you have been in a place, maybe in 2014, where the waves threatened to overtake you, where the storm was so great that you were filled with fear and you thought, how will I ever get out of this situation? Look at verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. No dead ends with God. No dead ends, but only beginnings. And so I want to take you now through, we're not going to turn to these for the sake of time, but I want to take you through some encounters, some dead end encounters in the Word of God, and you're familiar with every one of them. But I want to lift out some things for you and I believe encourage you today where you are with the Lord. The first one is Jacob. We see Jacob as he flees Esau. I'm trusting that you know these stories. Jacob has cheated his brother out of his birthright. And now Esau is ready to kill him. And Jacob is fleeing for his life. And he comes to a wilderness place. He comes to a hard place. And I want you to understand, for this young man, this is the first really, really hard place in his life. This is the first hard place, partially of his own making, but because of something that was pure and right in his heart. Listen to me closely. Some of you will know this because you've been there. Others will say, well, I've never experienced this. You can have a right motive, and you can desire to honor God, and you can go with a zeal to have what God has for you. But even in the midst of that, sometimes you can do stupid things, can't you? Jacob had a purity in his heart that desired the rights of the firstborn. It wasn't that he wanted material things. He wanted the spiritual headship. He wanted the blessing of God that came in with being the firstborn. And he knew that Esau, his brother, hated that blessing and didn't want any part of it. So he tricked him. It would have been his. God would have given it to him. But he wasn't willing to wait on the timing of God. So what he desired was pure, and what he desired was good. Sometimes when we're following God with all of our hearts, we just don't wait for the right timing of God in certain things. And we find ourselves in a mess. And we find ourselves in a hard place. Jacob had run, and his brother had set his face to kill him. And he comes to this wilderness place, and the Bible says that he slept with his head upon a stone. And as he slept that night, just get the spiritual picture here. Hard place. Place of great fear, a place of difficulty. This really looks like a dead end for Jacob. But in the midst of that hardship, as he sleeps, the heavens are opened and he sees a vision. He sees a vision, actually a vision of Christ. The Bible says he saw a ladder from heaven to earth and angels ascending and descending upon the ladder. Over in the New Testament, Jesus says, that ladder was me. He said, you will see the Son of Man, and you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Because Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the gate of heaven. I am the access to the Father. Jacob saw that access. He said, this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And so began for Jacob a life of covenant with God. God made a covenant with them there. And Jacob would have repeated encounters with God in his life. And in the morning when he woke up in that hard place, he took that hard stone. It represents a very, very difficult place in your life. And instead of kicking that stone to the side and saying, this is too hard for me, because his eyes had been upon the Lord of glory, he poured oil upon that stone. He anointed that place. And he made it an altar, a place of worship. And he committed himself to the Lord. Beloved, when you think that you're in a dead end, if you will keep your eyes upon Christ in 2015, I don't care how hard that place is in which you find yourself, you will learn to pour oil upon that rock, and you will learn to consecrate it to God and make it a place of worship, a place where you can honor God, and it will be a beginning of many times that you come before the Lord and that He directs your life, He guides your life, and He takes you into something deeper. The second person that we're going to look at is the prodigal son. Many of us have been in that place of the prodigal son. And we know the story. He left his father and his older brother. He asked for his inheritance early. He received all of his money and he went off into a far country. And he spent it in partying and living a wild lifestyle until he came to the end of the money. And he came to a place where he found himself tending to pigs. Remember, for the Jews, the swine or the pigs were an abomination. They would not touch or be around pigs. So this is a spiritual picture for you and I of just how far this young man had gone, how far he had degraded himself, at what a dead end he found himself. And in that place, he was so hungry that he was eating the food that he was giving to the pigs. Now, what I want you to see this morning is every time we hear the story of the prodigal son, it is a great story about coming back to the Lord. He goes back to his father, and it's a picture. Many of you, maybe at some point in your life, you heard a message about the prodigal son, and you came home to the Lord. You came back to the Lord. But I want you to see that when we come to the Lord, this young man, when he got up out of the pig pen, and he said, I'm going home to Father, he was doing that because he was at a dead end. He wasn't, yes, he knew that there would be something for him there, but he wasn't thinking he was walking back in victory. He was not thinking, oh, this is a glorious day. I'm going home to Father. No. This is defeat for him. This is a dead end for him. And what he is saying and what is recorded in Scripture that he says is, at least at Father's house there's food and I can be a servant. I can go back and be a slave. This is not for on his side where he sees himself. This is not a picture of victory until later. This is a picture of defeat. And truly, when you and I come to the Lord, it is the same picture. It is a defeat of us living the self life. It is the defeat of us trying to make our own way. It is the defeat of us living apart from God. And we come back because of the great message of hope that we have of the gospel. But the prodigal son comes back. I want you to picture this scene. He comes back. This is a dead end. He comes back with his head hung in shame. Picture him having been out there all of this time. He's lost weight. He's dirty. He doesn't even look like the same young man that he used to be. If we put it in today's terms, he probably looked like he'd been on crystal meth for 6 months or a year. His eyes are gaunt. He's dirty. He's skin and bones. And he comes and he makes his way back to the father's house. And the father comes running and meets him. But on his side, this is still a dead end. This is defeat. He's saying, I have dishonored you. Look what I have done. If I can just be a servant. But the father's not hearing any of that. Because with God, there are no dead ends. The father's not listening to his shame. The father's not listening to his tale of woe. The father is getting ready and putting a new ring upon his finger, which speaks of authority. The father is putting a new coat upon his skinny, emaciated, dirty body, which speaks of the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to you and me when we come to him. And he's putting new shoes on his feet, which represents a new direction, a new beginning, a new walk for his life. The father is rejoicing because what the son sees as a dead end is really just a beginning with the father. Likewise with you and me. When we come to the Lord, we have come out of a dead end situation, but he gives us new life. And maybe at this time, the beginning of 2015, maybe you have been away. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you're a prodigal. And maybe you think that you've sinned away all your grace, all of God's grace, that he's not there for you anymore. He's just waiting to put that new ring on your finger. He's just waiting to restore you back to the household of the Father. And then we go years later to a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And we find Peter and the disciples in the boat. The storm begins to rage. These storms, history tells us, and even today, that the storms will arise suddenly on the Sea of Galilee during the night. And they are unpredictable, and they are ferocious, and boats are capsized, and lives are lost. So this was a fearful thing. Maybe you've had a storm arise suddenly in your life, and it's come against you. Maybe in 2014, there was a storm, and there were waves that you thought were going to take you under, that you thought would be the end of your story. Peter is in the boat. The disciples are in the boat. And they fear for their lives. This is a dead end. This is another dead end in the Word of God. But in the midst of this storm and this dead end, here is Jesus walking upon the waves. And he approaches the boat. And just look at this man. We're going to come back to him in a little while. But look at Peter. Peter sees the Lord walking on the waves. And in the midst of a dead-end situation, he says, Lord, if it's you, then call me to you. Bid me to come that I might come to you on the water. The Lord tells him to come, and Peter steps out. The waves are just pounding, but he is standing. He's walking on top of the waves. And as long as he keeps his eyes on the Lord, he is able to move forward. And he's able to stay above the storm. Only when he takes his eyes off the Lord does he begin to sink. And I want you to see that in the midst of your dead end, listen to what is really happening to Peter. The very thing, those waves, that storm, the very thing that threatens to destroy his life, the very thing that threatens to take him under and do him in, that very thing becomes the sidewalk upon which he walks to get to the Lord in the midst of his trouble. And it's the same thing for you and me. You think you're in a dead end. You think the storm is pounding all around you. But if your eyes are on Christ, he wants to take you to a new level in 2015. He wants you to understand this year, do it differently. This year, respond differently. This year, when the storm comes, learn to look to him and to walk on top of it, because he will not let you fall. It is not a dead end. It is a sidewalk into the very will of God for your life. It is sent for a reason, that you might draw close to Christ in the time of your calamity. Fourth, that I want us to look at is Israel's departure out of Egypt. After hundreds of years of slavery, Moses has come in with the authority of God, and judgments are falling at his word. In case you, I'm not recommending it, but I know that many of you will go to see Exodus, Gods and Kings. So I went to see it, didn't get a good review. I went to see it to see what it was like. And so I want to tell you something to watch for if you go to see it. Moses was a man of God with authority. If you read the Bible, he spoke with authority because God put a word in his mouth. He wasn't unsure. He wasn't just watching things happen. He heard the word of God. He spoke the word of God, and judgments fell. Things came to pass. And what was the symbol of his authority? His rod, his staff. So watch the movie and watch what the atheist producers who try to make Bible movies, and they have to do something with these things. Watch what they do with Moses' staff. You'll have to watch for it. And watch where it goes. Then watch what he has instead of a staff in Egypt. And see a man with no authority who's simply watching things as they unfold. But Moses went into Egypt with authority. He commanded. He spoke with authority. Things played out according to the word of God. And in that story, judgments were falling, and it became so dark all around the children of Israel in Egypt. A darkness that could be felt. They couldn't see the light of a candle in front of their eyes. And there was a judgment against the firstborn in all the land. But judgment passed over the children of God, the children of Israel, because of blood on the doorpost. And you and I are entering into a time of great darkness in this world. There are going to be times in 2015 and 16 and 17 that you're going to look and think, can it get any darker? And I want to tell you something. You are going to look at people that you know and love. I take no pleasure in telling you this. You're going to see people that went to the house of God with you. You're going to know people, you're going to see people that you've known that once walked with God, once claimed to know God. And you're going to see them compromise. And you're going to see them walk in a different direction, and your heart's going to be grieved. Because they're not going to have discernment anymore because they've compromised in their walk with God. And it's like the darkness that fell over Egypt. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. And these who once went to the house of God won't be able to tell right from wrong. They'll be so deceived, so caught up in it. And they'll mock you because you still believe in the blood over the doorpost. Because the blood over the doorpost is the entrance. It is the gospel. And you'll see all around you churches that won't talk about the blood anymore. But there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no new beginning. There is no prosperous 2015 for the believer. There are no open doors. There's no protection from the darkness that's falling apart from the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. They found themselves at the Red Sea. Moses lifted his rod, the ocean parted, and I'm here to tell you this morning, that was one of the biggest dead ends in the Bible. And maybe you find yourself in a place that Pharaoh's army seems to be all around you. You've got an army on one side, you've got an ocean on the other, and you're saying, how can I go forward? How can I get out of this place? Surely I will be destroyed here. But the Word of God says there are no dead ends with God. And if need be, He will part the ocean for you, that you can go forward and do the will of God, what He has for your life. Many years ago, I was in a dead end. I'm going to share something very personal with you. There was a time in my life years ago that I was in a place where there was an army on one side of me and there was an ocean on the other. There was the army of Satan. I was serving God, but I wasn't trained how to stand in the situation in which I found myself. But I did stand. I kept learning. I kept seeking God. One of the things that I learned was that adversity is allowed by God. I wanted to blame everybody else, and God taught me. He said, oh, no. This comes by my hand that you might learn of me. This comes by my hand that you might humble yourself before me and that you might learn what it means to lean upon me and not upon self. But how many of you know there are times in your life there are enemies that are too strong for you? I know we talk about standing in the armor of God, but we grow in that maturity, don't we? There are times in your life that you may find that the enemy is too strong for you. And I'm telling you, you keep your eyes on the Lord. You don't run. You don't try to make things happen. You wait on the Lord, but you trust the Lord for your deliverance. Amen? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 18. Because I waited on the Lord, and I didn't understand what was happening. And God delivered me. I had said, Lord, I will stay in this place and I will stand and I will be obedient to you, but I don't know how much I can take. And so we found ourselves in Arizona. Not because we were running from something, not because we tried to make something happen. The Lord one day said, it's time for you to move. I'm calling you somewhere else. He said, pack up and go. And He called us to Arizona. And in Psalm 18, sometime much later, perhaps a year or two later, I was reading in the Word of God, and God spoke to me, and He showed me what He did for me. If you look at Psalm 18, verse 16, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. See, David had experienced this. Look at this. He delivered me from my strong enemy. I said, thank you, Jesus. From those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Beloved, if you're in a place between the enemy and something that's blocking your way, keep your eyes on Jesus. In 2015, don't give up. Trust in the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord and ask Him to do battle for you. And I promise you, He will deliver you. He is faithful to His Word, and He will not allow you to be overcome by the flood or the fire to destroy you. Amen? Amen. He will part an ocean, if need be, to take you where He wants you to be. Earlier I said even fools can cry out to God in their troubles, even in their sin, and He is the God of new beginnings. We find this so pictured in the life of Samson. Samson used to perplex me so much. How can this be in the Bible? He's such, and I'm using biblical language when I say this, in God's Word. He's such a fool. He was foolish in the things that he did. He squandered what God had entrusted to him. But you know what he also teaches us? The grace of God. Here is a man who was overcome by his own sin time and time again, and yet God's power was still available when he turned to God in faith. Beyond even my comprehension of it. This is a man who blew it over and over and over again, played the fool. And yet the last episode of his life is one of glory. even in the midst of his bondage because of his own foolishness and sin, he finds himself with his eyes put out, blinded, and grinding at the mill like an animal. But when he turns to the Lord, that dead end becomes the moment of his greatest victory. He cries to the Lord and his strength is renewed. How many of you know that God says that faith pleases him? He says, in fact, he says only faith pleases God. Of course, yes, we are to live righteously and we are to grow in righteousness. But in the end, it is faith that pleases God. How many of you know that when Samson put his hand against those pillars, it did not matter all the things he had done in the past. He expected God to be present and to do something miraculous. God answered. Your dead end, I don't care how foolish you've been. I don't care what you've squandered. I don't care what a mess you made of 2014. If you come with expectation, God will move on your behalf and it will be a new beginning for you. Very similarly, Jonah was running. He was disobedient to God. He had a call upon him and he ran and hid from Almighty God. Maybe this morning some of you young people might resonate with this. Maybe you heard God in your spirit. Maybe as he worked in your life, you knew God has already put something within you that you know is his will. And this applies to adults just as well. God has put something in you, a direction. Maybe you're running the other way. Maybe you will run until you find yourself in quite a whale of a situation, just as Jonah did. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God had his hand upon Jonah. And there was no greater dead end for this man than being in the belly of the whale in the bottom of the sea. But with God, it's never a dead end. It's only a beginning. And lastly, Peter again. Have you ever denied the Lord? You remember how it felt? You remember that yucky, awful feeling when you were embarrassed and you denied the Lord? You denied knowing him? Peter had followed him for 3 years, said, I'll never leave you. And then in front of the unbelievers around him 3 times, I want you to think about this man the way he felt for a minute. 3 times he said, I don't even know him. And then he heard the rooster crow just as Jesus had prophesied. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Nothing else happens in Peter's life until shortly after that, he knows that Jesus is being nailed to a cross. How would you feel? How would you feel? I've denied him. I walked with him. I've denied him. Peter, the one who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, God gave that knowledge to you, not man. Now he's denied him, and now Jesus is being crucified. You talk about a broken man at a dead end. So much so that after the crucifixion, he says, I'm going back fishing. And I've seen believers. I've seen believers who had great zeal for the Lord. And then there was some failure in their life, in their walk with God. And they couldn't go forward. They just went back to what they used to do. You don't see them anymore. But the Lord is so gracious. Following the resurrection, Peter and some of the others are out on the boat fishing. They hear a voice on the shore. They don't know who it is. And Jesus says, have you caught any fish? No, we've toiled all night and caught none. How many of you know if God's ever spoken to you once, you just can't escape it when that voice comes again? You recognize him. Jesus said, not for the first time since he knew Peter. Then cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Peter says, it's the Lord. And he had the sense not to lift anchor and go out further. He jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. Jesus had breakfast prepared. And Jesus restores Peter in that moment. But there are costs involved. In closing, I want to just give you briefly a few things. We've seen their failures. We've seen their dead ends. And maybe it resonates with something in your own life. But there are some things about these men that set them apart. One of those is faith. The Bible says only faith pleases Him. And even though their lives may have been marked by some failures, you'll see that overall, when it came down to it, they had faith. They had expectation that God would do something. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you just live your Christian life never expecting God to do anything? Beloved, you'll never get out of your dead end if you don't expect to. If you think it's a dead end and you think the army's going to destroy you, you think the waves are going to destroy you and that you're not going to make it, if you have no expectation of the power of God and what He can do to set you free, faith pleases Him. These had faith. Even the fools in Psalm 107 cried to the Lord in their distress. The storm on the sea is your sidewalk, but you have to go towards Jesus. Their lives were lives of faith. And in 2015, if you don't fill yourself with His Word and talk to Him and believe Him for what He wants to do in your life, you can stay stuck in your rut for another year. There was sacrifice. We don't like that word. They lived lives of sacrifice. Sooner or later, their lives were marked by sacrifice. I want to take you back for a moment. Peter is by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has restored him. And then Jesus says, "Stretch out your hands, Peter." Peter stretches out his hands and Jesus takes his belt and He ties them around Peter's hands. And He says, "Right now you're young and you go wherever you want to go. When you're old, they're going to bind you and they're going to take you where you don't want to go." Peter knew. He knew that to follow Jesus. Jesus said it. Jesus didn't say it cost anything to get saved, but it cost to follow Him. He said, "Count the cost if you would be my disciple. Take up your cross." Peter knew all of his life after that there was something really, really hard coming. And when he was old, they bound his hands and they took him out and they crucified him. Just like they did Jesus, except he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." So they crucified him upside down. There's sacrifice. I want to ask you, what did it cost you to follow Jesus in the year 2014? What was the sacrifice? What were the sacrifices He required of you? What was it that cost you to be a follower? Not to be saved. You can say, "I accepted Jesus. I believe in Jesus." I'm not asking you that. If you say you're a follower, a disciple of Jesus, what did it cost you in 2014? What will it cost you in 2015 to follow Jesus? If you're going to follow Him, there will be sacrifice. Sacrificia in following Jesus Christ. These men knew what it meant to love. You might not find the word very often, but Peter had a passionate love for Jesus. That's why it nearly destroyed him when he denied him. It was because he loved him. Walking on the water is a great dramatic thing. But Peter's love was the thing that mattered. And last of all, they had, even in spite of all of those things, what was the priority of their life? The priority was Christ. What is the priority in your life? What's on the pedestal of your heart? What's on the throne of your heart? What is the most important thing to you? Each day, is it a following after Christ and saying, Lord, take me and use me, do with me as you will? Or is it you planning your own way, deciding your own priorities? If you want to follow Him in 2015 and you do not want your life to be in a dead end, then Jesus Christ must be the priority. I challenge you today, do you love Him? I challenge you today, is He your priority? I challenge you today, are you expecting Him to move you forward? And I challenge you today, are you willing to count the cost and to lay down your life? Are you seeking Him for His will for your life? If you are, He is faithful, faithful, faithful. He will not fail you. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship. If you need prayer today, I invite you to come. If you've not received Christ as Savior, now is the time. Come and someone will pray with you as we worship.